7 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Rockies play their first extra innings game. They get a great performance from Cal Quantrill. But Aaron Nola was just a little bit better last night.
Yeah.
9 strikeouts for Nola. Did give up the Tolia home run. Pache drives in the winning run in extra innings. And Kyle Freeland doesn't like being a pinch runner.
No, and, you know, like, what's the point of having best friends if they can't fall on you at home plate in a Major League Baseball game?
Exactly. Kyle Freeland was, boy, he was furious last night.
He was hot. And, like, him and Jeff Hoffman are bros.
Because they're friends, yes.
Like, they're tight from their time with the Rockies.
And so Hoffman went to make the, you know, Yamamoto got the ball to Hoffman.
Like a wild pitch type thing. Yeah,
tagged Freeland out. And there was the big collision. Freeland appeared to hurt his right shoulder. I mean, like you said, they're friends.
Yeah.
They're buddies. And Freeland went into the clubhouse after the play, but then came out afterwards where he was screaming.
I
was like yelling from the dugout.
I don't know what his beef was. I don't know whether it was Hoffman falling on him or the fact that he didn't get the interference call. Like, and I know Bud said after the game, like, the speed of the play and just the way it was developing kind of negates the interference call. And yeah, that tracks. I think that's a little bit of 2.5 years of frustration pouring out of Kyle Freeland, last night specifically.
And we're seeing more. Remember season ago with Kyle Freeland, and the frustration is setting in, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, why the hell's Kyle Freeland out there running? Why is he a pinch runner? Bud says he's one of the fastest players on the team, so that's why he's out there.
Though.
Yeah, I can see that. It is out of the ordinary, though, that one of your starting rotation would be a pinch runner. It is a little odd.
Usually, sometimes you don't see it nearly as much now with the no longer small ball nature.
Right.
There were times like in the late 80s, 90s, you tune in and you're in the like the eighth inning. You're like, who's the dude out there in the jacket? It's got to be some random pitcher out there running. Like,
it's Greg Maddux
is out there pinch running all the time.
Why is Greg Maddux out there?
Greg Maddux is really that fast?
Didn't realize he was that fast.
Like, this is the same team with Ron Gant and David Justice and Deion Sanders and
Chubby guys are playing the NFL.
Brian Jordan, like, Greg Maddux is out here running? What in the world?
Yeah, an NFL safety and a cornerback.
Yeah.
Guys
yeah, half of the Falcons secondary out here. What's going on?
Why the hell is
Greg Maddux out there? The Falcons suck, too.
Realize that Greg Maddux was that fast. Who knew? No, we're just kidding about Greg Maddux, but
he would do it. And sometimes start, but you don't see it hardly nearly as much. The specialization now and the money invested.
Oh, yeah,
there's no way you're going to put a starting pitcher out there unless you're the Rockies, and screw it.
No, Kyle, get out there.
Is Dick Monfort now making on-field decisions? This is the big question I have this morning. Because that it feels that way a little bit. Let's have our pitcher run into a collision at home plate. Why not? What's the worst that could happen?
Remember when Jeff Hoffman was going to be
a stud, for the Rockies?
He was part of the Tulo trade.
Yes, he was, from the Blue Jays.
I had to think about that. It's like, yeah, it's
with
where
the rec specs.
Yeah. And he was one of their top prospects, and he was going to be, hey, we're getting a frontline starter here in Jeff Hoffman, and it just never turned out to be the case with Jeff Hoffman.
No, for Colorado, he made 68 appearances, 10-16, with a 6.40 ERA.
Who?
For Philadelphia, he's made 62 appearances, 7-2, with a 2.37 ERA. in what is essentially the same ballpark, but at sea level.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's
like,
fair.
If you get a glance, like if you wear glasses and you look at the TV without your glasses, you're like, that's Coors Field. Citizens Bank. No. But it's essentially the same park, just at sea level. And there you go. You have Jeff Hoffman shaving his ERA by 4 runs.
And the Rockies just can't get it done. I mean, the pitching wasn't bad last. That's the thing. Jake Bird came out on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Whit Merrifield had the sack bunt. They got Stott to third. And then Pache brought Stott home with a base knock. Quantrill, like we talked about, I mean, it wasn't like dominating numbers, yeah, but he was good. He only gave up 4 hits and a run last night.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's why I'll go to my grave saying this. The ghost runner is stupid because Jake Bird came in, allowed a sacrifice bunt, got a ground out, and a seeing eye single. You know what that is in the real world? A runner at first with 2 outs.
Yeah.
Not game over. Like, are you serious? And then it wastes probably the Rockies' best pitching effort as a team in, well, at least this season for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a year and a half? Like, Cal Quantrill was pretty good for the firepower that offense has to have little kind of, you know, punch and Judy base knock from Bryce Harper. That's it.
Merrifield and Realmuto's got pop. And
Stott. Castellanos. So, like, you can go up and down that lineup. And for him to go out there and hold him to, what, he scattered like 5 or 6 hits and the
four,
one run?
I think it was 4 hits. 4 hits in a
four
run.
4 hits in a run in 6 innings. Yeah. Like, are you serious? That's, and then
you're polluting your britches with joy if you're Bud when you get that kind of outing.
And then you know you're screwed because the home team has the ghost runner at second. All they have to do is squeak one through the infield, and it's over. It's all wasted. That's why I hate the stupid ghost runner. But that's neither here nor there. It's too late for
Should it be this way with the ghost runner? You play an inning straight up like you normally would. And we're talking extra innings.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the 11th, and then maybe you break out the ghost runner.
Yeah, and I know that the counter is always the speed up of the game. Because the way the two teams were pitching and hitting last night, that game could still be going if there were no ghost runner. So I get the speed up nature of it, but at that point, it's the same problem just an inning later.
But at least you have the opportunity, though, to go out and try to win it in a conventional fashion, if you mm-hmm. understand what I'm saying.
I do.
Where there's more margin for error, mm-hmm. and you have that one inning where, all right, our bullpen goes out, gives up a couple of hits, but don't give up a run where we would have given up. Okay, now we know the pressure's early on because next inning, if we don't score here,
right?
If we're particularly the home team, you don't score, then we go to the speed up rule, and then we have the ghost runner, and then we have a different situation.
I think at least it gives
you the opportunity to play one inning of extra inning baseball in a conventional fashion.
And I know the counter is you had 9 innings to do that. Why do you need 10? So, like, I get it. I understand it. I just don't like it. Because this is where I'm a purist. Pitch clock, I'm all right. I'm fine with that. Pimping home runs, bat flips, let's have it. Bring it on. Put a runner at second base to speed it. No, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So I'm very
I'm still, like, the other night with the Mesa game, the start of the game, Bunovich got the start. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his pitch comm on. I'm like, why is he going over to the dugout? Oh, he didn't. He forgot to put his pitch comm. And you're just going, what the? What's he doing? Oh, yeah. Like, that's what he's doing.
I'm okay with that, especially after the PK Hernandez change-up.
Change-up.
You heard that on Sunday Night Baseball change a couple weeks ago?
Change-up.
Fastball. Low. It's like, this is great.
No, I'm fine with it. It took me for a second. I'm going, oh, that's right. He's going over to forgot to put his pitch comm on.
Yeah. It's like a lot of the things. Like, I like the pitch clock because it's every single at bat.
Yeah.
It doesn't change the later into the night you get.
Exactly.
That's where.
But I think, could you not embrace, though, one inning of we're just going to play it conventional extra innings baseball for the 10th inning and then the 11th? We got to wrap this baby up. We got to go home at some point here.
I would much rather shave outs than put runners on base. Like, you get one out once you get past the 11th. It's just, One crack. Let's go. Come on. Let's pick up the pace a little bit.
What do you, just do home run derby.
It's
why don't you just do that?
A little less traditional baseball.
Let's do what the Pioneer League does. Just go home run derby.
Exactly. Get 10th, the 11th. All right, let's swing for the fence.
Don't you think that'd be goofier and weirder than...
Yeah. You know, get the fanatic out there on his four-wheeler with a trash can. Just driving around. If you hit it into the trash can, you win.
Simple.
Let's go Savannah Bananas. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Put a guy in center field on stilts.
I know, on stilts. So really,
you have some of that sort of thing.
I know. You have a problem with a ghost runner.
Yeah, that's,
but you're okay with the guy.
If we're gonna do it, let's do it. We're gonna ruin baseball. Let's ruin baseball. How about Michael Tolio's home run though?
Oh, that was 389.
Yeah,
foot solo shot. He's starting to.
He's had a very nice start to the season.
No doubt about that.
Average could be better, but
power numbers have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
At least he's playing.
He's got, what, 4 or 5 home runs right now? That's, you know, good start to the season for him.
At least he's playing. Looking at you, Chris Bryant.
So, exactly. Who's hurt again? Mm-hmm. So, got a lot to get to this on the program this morning. Of course, came out yesterday that Mike Dunlap will be the new head men's basketball coach at Colorado Mesa. And we'll be talking with Mike Dunlap at 8 o'clock this morning. They've yet to set when there's going to be a press conference or anything like that, but we're going to talk with Mike this morning for a few minutes. Coach Metro State to 2 national championships in the early 2000s, was the coach of the Charlotte Bobcats, took them from a 7-win to a 21-win team. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Wasn't able to stick around in that particular gig, but certainly made improvement when he was there. On the bench when Giannis and the Bucks won the NBA title in 2021. So Guides Cavs has a wide range of experience and a guy that always recruited Australia extremely well with his connections in the land down under. So we'll talk with Mike, or excuse me, I almost said Mike DeGeorge, the man replacing Mike DeGeorge, Mike Dunlap.
They could just keep, the next one is Mike something, Mike D something, you know?
Well, they did that. They
gave
credit to Joan and...
Mike Dunlap's here for the next 10, 15 years.
The President and then, Marshall that they kept, they brought in another Mike.
Another Mike D. Like Mike Dunleavy
Jr. Mike.
Let's bring him in next. Because he's still a young guy. That's who I thought it was initially. You're like, oh, Mike Dunlap. I'm like, the Duke guy? Dad was in the league. You gave me the resume. And I'm like, oh, that. Okay.
Mike Dunlap, not Dunleavy.
Close enough.
Goofball. All right, 7:13. So he'll be joining us coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. We'll have Mav Day with Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer.
But you know how fast news travels. Mike Dunlap's Wikipedia page already has him as the head coach of CMU. Oh. Look at that.
Whoever jumped on that, good job.
Yeah, way to go.
Good work. Good work on that today. Getting all over Wikipedia. So if you got some reaction to Mike Dunlap coming here, that's a pretty good get.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a get. Joan McDermott, of course, has known Mike Dunlap for a very long time. She was the AD at Metro State, was over there when Mike was there, and so they have that relationship. And, I mean, this guy's coached in the NBA. He's been a head coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big get. I mean, you lose a tremendous coach like Mike DeGeorge. He's bringing a guy that's won 2 national titles, and he's coached at the NBA level and won an NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
At Metro, in 6 years, he won 2 national championships and made it to a championship game besides that.
Right.
And made it to a Final Four besides that.
Right.
So, that's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at
that's
all.
It's a good get.
So, we'll talk with Mike Dunlap, new Colorado Mesa men's basketball coach, coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. So, make sure you stick around for that conversation. You can always text or call us, 970-242-1340. If the Rockies, if they play like they did last night, can you live with them being a one or loss team if they go out and play the way they did last night? Good pitching, close, competitive. Does that make the sting of 100 losses better? That, well, at least they're in a lot of games. They're in a lot of games. Look how many one-run games they lost. They lost 25 one-run games. Or is it still... just going to hurt because you know they're going to lose 100 games. It's just,
yeah,
it's
I would be more frustrated, I think.
Not happier.
Right.
More frustrated because they're that close.
Because they're that close, and if they just had one better player here or one more consistent player there.
One more starter, one more frontline guy, or one more power bat in the lineup. Or
if you had a guy that hit for a better average than 143 or a guy that played in more games than 80, that would make me more frustrated, I feel.
Because you feel it, you taste it, you smell it.
It's that, right there.
It's that close. You've lost.
They're 3-27 in one run games. Well, so they're that close.
They're there.
And then you start questioning, all right, now is it Bud?
Because that's where then the pressure falls on him. It's like, is he making too many late game mistakes, keeping guys in too long, not managing the bullpen?
Not making late game decisions, or one or the other.
Or not making the right ones, either one. Then all of a sudden, those start to fall on him.
Because in the NFL, one score games essentially come down to coaching.
True, and same with baseball.
So baseball's got to be the same way, right? And that's, I like Bud, and Bud can only do what he's given. And if they continue to get closer, then you start to feel, you're like, okay, maybe it is Bud.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it is right now, because I can read a box score.
Because there's not enough of these kind of games from last night. Where pitching's been really good, close game, 2-1. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just, like you said, leave a guy in too long, make a bad defensive replacement, whatever the case may be.
Like, I don't know how
Wrong pinch hitter, wrong guy scuffling, and we're going to stay with Joey because Joey can do it, and
I don't know,
whoever.
I don't know how the rest of the series is going to go, but this is a team that could compete for the National League pennant, and the Rockies held them to 6 hits over 10 innings. It's pretty good.
All right, so text or call us today. Also, we'll have a pole dancing coming up later, our top 5 Major League Baseball, and our top 5 favorite fictional baseball players.
Yeah.
Not managers, so no Lou Brown or anybody like that. Fictional players.
This was easier than the actual top 5 in MLB.
Agreed. I would say so.
There's one on here who's the bad guy in his particular movie that I just identify more with as I get older.
I just went with guys I like, just characters that I just, and a lot of them are extremely well-known characters, just ones that I liked in the film.
There's one, he's well-known. He's just kind of one of the bad guys, per se, quote-unquote.
Is this Major League?
Maybe.
It's Major League 2?
No.
Okay.
No, not that one.
Oh, not that one.
No.
Not Parkman?
Not Parkman, no.
Not Jack Parkman?
It's not Jack Parkman.
I thought about putting Jack Parkman on my list, but I just...
I love that actor, though. He's so good as that role. It's just, what a tool. It's so good.
And so, like we were saying, it's no Harry Doyles or anything.
Right.
It's no broadcasters. It's all players.
Because Harry Doyle, Lou Brown's 1-2
world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're phenomenal.
Gotta get back to you. I got a guy in the early line asking about some
Robert
Wall.
And Robert Wall.
Oh, yeah.
He was
absolutely
not the head coach, but he was the assistant coach.
Yep. Larry.
Larry. Larry's great.
Larry was fantastic.
How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
They're both great, too, by the way. Yeah, I don't know who the manager character is, but
he was great, too.
So good.
Yeah. So it's all players. Fictional players. Maybe you got
Matt LeBlanc, right? Yeah, he played.
You got Jack Elliott, Mr. Baseball.
Yeah.
With Tom Selleck. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's on the list. I don't know. David Keith, by the way, played Jack Parkman.
David Keith
was great as
he
Jack
Parkman.
He was great.
He was also the friend, an officer and a gentleman, right?
Believe he was.
Yeah. That's some range.
Remember Parkman as a chain smoker? In the movie? Little throwback?
Yep.
Way, way back.
White Sox and Indians.
Yeah, because he gets traded to the White Sox to face the Indians in the postseason. They won the ALCS in that movie. All right, so your favorite fictional baseball players, maybe it's Brendan Fraser. Maybe it's Scott Nebraska.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Is it Tony Danza from Angels in the Outfield?
No.
What about
Danny Glover was the manager of that, yes. wasn't he? Yeah.
Gary Busey?
How about Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, yes. Forgot about Matthew McConaughey.
But
All right.
Busey, what, Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
He was the grizzled
vet. He was the grizzled vet.
Yeah.
Daniel Stern was the pitching coach.
And he was always forgetting stuff.
Yeah.
Now I watched this show called For All Mankind, that fictional alternate path if we would have, that the Russians would have landed on the moon first and all that. Daniel Stern is the head of NASA. And he always plays kind of the same guy.
He's
kind of as a pitching coach in Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Kind of like
Home Alone.
Yeah, with the Wet Bandits.
The same guy.
He's kind of goofy, kind of weird.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be kind of like Lee Iacocca, the legendary head of Chrysler.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a guy that was like this big time auto exec who's buddies with the president, and he gets.
Because that definitely never happened in the 60s.
Yeah, because he got the job as the NASA director. It's like, I think in the show right now, it's like early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
And Al Gore is president at that time. And the fictional...
He was for like 90 minutes. So.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, something like that. All right, 7:21.
Long enough to pick out some flowers.
It's time for...
What's happening?
And, of course, as always, brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. One call, one team, one goal. Helping your business grow, ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. At ComWest, they're not looking for work. They're looking for a partnership, and they can meet your IT services and your business needs, PC and server support, business phone systems, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup, and disaster recovery. Call ComWest today if you need help with your IT problems at your business, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, lead things off with the big news here locally yesterday with the announcement from Colorado Mesa that they have announced the hiring of Mike Dunlap as their new head men's basketball coach. Dunlap brings experience across multiple levels of college and pro basketball. He's no stranger to the RMAC, serving as the head coach at Metro State between 97 and 2006. During his time with the Roadrunners, Dunlap coached them to national titles in 2000 and 2002. He was an assistant coach in the NBA with the Nuggets in 2008-2009 and was the Charlotte Bobcats head coach in 2012, taking a 7-win team to 21 wins, becoming the only NBA head coach to triple a team's win total in his first year. Dunlap was also the head coach of Division I Loyola Marymount, was most recently an assistant coach from the Milwaukee Bucks, helping Giannis Antetokounmpo win his first NBA title in 2021. Dunlap takes over a program that's had one of its best stretches in program history with two trips to the Sweet 16 under former head coach Mike DeGeorge. Mavericks also losing Trevor Baskin and majority of the roster to the transfer portal. So Mike Dunlap with a lot of work in front of him. We'll talk with him coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. Philadelphia's Christian Pache drove in the winning run in the 10th inning as the Rockies lost at Philadelphia 2-1 Monday night. It was Colorado's first extra innings game of the season as they fall to 4-13. Rockies' Michael Tolia had a 389-foot solo home run off Philly starter Aaron Nola, but that was the only run they could get off the veteran right-hander. Nola went 7 1/3 with 9 strikeouts, gave up just 1 run and 4 hits of the walk. Colorado starter Cal Quantrill was also outstanding in going 6 innings. He gave up just 1 run on 4 hits of the strikeout and a walk. So game 2 of the series is tonight in Philadelphia. Former Central High quarterback Max Marsh is leaving Kansas State. Marsh is hitting the transfer portal after playing mostly safety and on special teams for the Wildcats last season. Marsh posted 4 tackles but was moved back to quarterback as Kansas State prepared to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Marsh stayed a quarterback during the Wildcats spring practices before deciding to transfer. He has 2 years of eligibility left. Marsh left Central to play for his father, Sean, when he took over as the coach at Eagle Crest. Former Fruita Monument lineman Keen Bessert is currently at Kansas State as a long snapper. The Fruita Monument Wildcats baseball team looks to continue their Southwestern League dominance when they take on Central tonight. Fruita's yet to lose a league game under head coach Casey Sullivan, who is in his third season at the helm, going 18-0. They've dominated the Warriors recently, winning 16 straight dating back to April of 2014. Sullivan says while Central has a lot of young contributors, there's still plenty of experience on the roster. They can't take that lightly.
Between Ryland and Lewis Kuntz and some of those other guys, you know, those are solid ball players. You don't overlook them by no means, and think if we kind of stick to our plan, I think we can be successful.
Joe Kellerby's in his first year as the head coach at Central. He says he's well aware of that losing streak to the Wildcats, but he says they don't dwell on it.
We know we've got one heck of a week in front of us. We just have to prepare for it all, and that's why we just are focusing on how we're going to compete. We preach how we handle adversity, and you know, teams that can handle adversity generally can do pretty well. And
And we'll have that game tonight. First pitch right around 6 o'clock as Fruita Monument takes on Central at Sam Saplesio Field. Also, the Delta High baseball team looks to extend their six-game winning streak when they head to Gunnison today for a 3A Western Slope League doubleheader. Panthers are 8-3 overall, 1-0 in league as they face a Cowboys team that's 6-4 overall and 1-1 in league.
They're always competitive. Tom Percival does a great job with that program. You know, they're going to come at you. You know, they're going to swing the bats well, and they're going to play solid defense. And, you know, pitching-wise, they're going to come at you as well.
That's Delta coach Steve Ryer. The Team Sports Network will have both games of that doubleheader today, starting with pregame at 1:45, so a very busy day of high school baseball right here on the Team Sports Network. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business, call them at ComWest, 970-242-8142. Go to comwestcorp.com. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And up next, we'll dive more into the Rockies. The 2-1 extra innings loss last night at Philadelphia. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Are you playing it because I have my Van Halen t-shirt on today? Is that?
No, I didn't even notice that.
Actually, I have a original Van Halen with Diamond Dave.
Well.
But I love Sammy.
Love Sammy.
Sammy's phenomenal.
Sammy's got some bangers, too, for Van.
Because Sammy can still bring it.
Oh, yeah.
Where Dave cannot.
Can't, really. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Sammy's still got some heat on the fastball, if you know what I mean.
It almost feels like they were two different bands.
A little bit. Actually, because not a little bit. Yeah, quite a bit.
They're quite a bit different. Little more poppy, but still fun, still really good. And then when Sammy was there, and then, I mean, they did some stuff that was, like, did a lot of cover stuff when Diamond Dave was there.
They, you know, for me, just kind of skew a little harder. They're, both of them have, like, Running with the Devil is a good heavy track, but
ain't talking about love.
Ain't talking about Humans Being.
It's a great song.
Is one of my favorite because that is just a killer riff.
Oh, no doubt.
We got the sound bar up to like 75 when that, because we watched Twister over the weekend.
You gonna go see Twisters?
No. Unless there's more Van Hagar tunes in it.
I don't know. There needs to be. I don't know
Pound
what soundtrack. Pancake's a great song.
Great song. And another great riff. I think
Foreign Lawful Carnal Knowledge,
yeah.
Which is with a great acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
The people.
OU812.
OU812 as well.
One. Yeah.
That, those are a couple of phenomenal albums.
Great albums.
Black and Blue is a great song off OU812.
This may be a hot take. Better guitar work with Sammy than Dave.
Maybe.
Band in general. I think Eddie was challenged by Sammy more as a guitar player than Dave would have. Because Sammy can,
but like Intruder,
Sammy can pick it
and
a
I mean,
bit.
There's, yeah, it's, but Ain't Talking About Love. That's, I mean, that that's a song. Oh, yeah.
It's hot take ish, I know, but that's how I feel.
I have to think about that. Mean Street. That's David Lee Roth era stuff. That's got some great guitar stuff in it.
Like, it's not that the Roth stuff is, ugh, you know, it's not, but it's
a lot of stuff on 1984, but then there's also a lot of keyboard stuff off 1984 as well. That's when Eddie kind of developed his little fixation with keyboards.
Glad that didn't last.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I wasn't around for prime Van Halen as it happened. But the development was like, well, this is it's a little bit of a departure from the rest. And I'm glad it didn't stick around.
Like, the Cradle of Rock's a great song.
Yeah. Hot for Teacher's a great song.
Of course, Cradle of Rock was not it was Women and Children first, but now the 1984 album, Gotta Love Me Some Top Jimmy. Girl Gone Bad's a great song. All Weight's kind of like a really good keyboards meets guitar. Panama's a great song.
Panama has got a great riff to it. I know people don't really love it because of the synth at the start. Jump too, but both have some actual great riffs in them.
I gotta be
somebody
honest.
Give me a doctor. Great song.
Great song. I gotta be honest. Jump is probably my least favorite Van Halen song.
Oh, that was really
cheesy.
Like least.
I mean, not talking the Gary Cherone, all that stuff.
That's...
I'm talking about when they're prime. I'm talking Sammy, yeah. Prime stuff, David Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I just never thought it was a great song. That's a hot, man, that's a hot take. I never went, oh my God, it's Jump, it's so great. I'm like, not their best work.
No.
Everything else, I love every other song on that album but Jump.
Like, I'll listen to it. Right.
I mean,
I'm not
going to
skip it.
I won't turn it off, but I don't seek it out.
But that's where I can be. If I'm listening at home, that's where I can, you know, head off to do something else for 5 minutes.
Sure.
Take Your Whiskey Home. Great song.
Oh, great song.
I know we're bouncing album to album here, but still.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff.
All right. I didn't realize my T-shirt would. Well,
what
you
an
playing
inspiration,
that.
Yeah.
And then, yes, we just unintentionally, this all comes together.
We dovetail into music a lot.
We do that.
Especially
a lot.
When you're gone, it seems. Tyler will play some bumper and then we spend 10 minutes talking about music.
You do a great job, but give that guy, he plays a lot different stuff than you.
There's some real, like, ooh.
I'm always thinking you're going to listen on some Friday. Oh, yeah, he's cracking on my stuff that I play. No, he plays different stuff than you, and it's great.
It's
cool.
I like it. There's still a lot of funky stuff. Big funk guy with Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really, really good. So, anyway, 7:34. So, the Rockies last night, they can't get it done at Philadelphia. Though it's one of these games where you walk away from it going, why can't I see more of this?
Yeah.
Why can't I see them play a close game where they got really good pitching last night?
That's the game last night to where at the end of it, you're not super depressed to be a Rockies fan. You're just kind of like, you're like, dang it. We almost had it.
That was so, they almost pulled it off last night. They got tremendous pitching last night. Obviously, Cal Quantrill with the effort that he had last night was extremely impressive. As Quantrill last night, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. That was the only run he gave up.
Mm-hmm.
A strikeout and a couple of walks. Just, you know, Lawrence is really good and he came out of the bullpen. Just Lawrence with an inning, gave up just 1 hit. Beeks went 2/3, walked a guy, had a strikeout, though. Mears continues to be really good for them out of the bullpen.
Yeah. And I know it's a refrain, and it has been for 31 years, and it will be as long as the franchise is in existence. Their road record's not great. They're 2-9 on the road, but they kind of are not good in general. Outside of two games, they've been all right on the road.
It hasn't been that
the
bad.
The losses, the wins and losses aren't great, but
probably the five nothing loss in the finale at Toronto was with Berrios
just dominated
them.
The season opener in Arizona and then the 12-2 loss in Chicago. Other than that, it's like, okay, 7-3, not great. They beat Arizona, lost 5-1, lost 5-0 in Chicago. Imanaga was great. Then they lost 9-8. That's a game they were in, competitive. Then in Toronto, they just beat the crap out of Kevin Gausman and the Blue Jays. And then lost 5-3 and 5-0. And then they were in that game last night. Like, they haven't been getting their heads beat in on the road like normal outside of those two games. Berrios was stellar. Imanaga was stellar. Other than that, they've been kind of in games.
Well, you look at home. Let's go to what they've done at home so far. They beat Tampa Bay 10-7.
Mm-hmm.
They lose a 2-run game. They lose a 1-run game. Then they win by 2 over Arizona. Lose a 1-run game. Lose a 2-run game to the Diamondbacks.
Run differential at home is -1.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's the thing. I feel like we're trying to look for a silver lining here at 4-13 because that's all you can do.
There's 5.5 months left.
If you take away the 16-1 game, do you feel differently about where they're at right now?
A little bit, yeah.
Because the stink of that game continues to kind of permeate this season. They continues to be, they lost 16-1.
If you trim those two losses in half, right? Say 16-1 was 8-1 and 12-2 was 6-2. I feel a lot better about where they're at. Their record's still the same, but now their run differential on the road is minus 12 instead of minus 30, I think. Sorry, their run differential on the road is minus 20 instead of minus 34. If you trim those two losses in half, and those are the only two games you touch, you still feel a lot better at 40 and 60 runs scored, runs allowed, as opposed to 40 and 74.
Yeah, you know, it's not like you feel great about them, but you're like, okay, at least they're playing, like we talked about, competitive baseball. Mm-hmm. And you look at some of these scores, and you kind of go, you know, they're not as bad as you would think at just first blush at 4-13.
They got, what, one or two run losses at home? Four, I think. One, two, three, four, five. Or no, four, because the one is in Toronto. Nope. I miscounted.
That's right.
They've only played six games at home. But four of them have been within two runs. Like, they're there in some of these games. Just, they don't have the timely hit. They don't have a lot of great options day in and day out in the bullpen. You can only use guys so much in a row. You know, you can't have Mears and Lawrence and some of these other guys go out there and have 100 appearances over the course of the season.
You can't do that.
You know, it's not the 60s. You know, but Dakota Hudson's been all right at times. Cal Quantrill's been better than advertised. Especially the last two outings.
And you flip it over to the other side, to the plate and what they've been doing. Tolley is only hitting 143, but he's got four home runs. He leads them right now. Mm-hmm. He's knocked in seven, which is tied for third on the team. So at least he's producing, at least he's got some decent power numbers. The average is not where he'd like it to be. Brendan Doyle, actually pretty decent start for him, hitting 290 right now. He's got three home runs.
Yeah, he's been better at the plate. Tovar's average is up. He's right around 300. I don't think that lasts, but he's had a pretty good start.
McMahon's probably after one of the best starts he's ever had.
Yeah.
In terms of batting average, being 349.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still not crazy about the strike. At least he doesn't lead the team in strikeouts right now.
Looking at you, Nolan Jones.
30 times already.
Mm-hmm.
But that's improved. It's better than what it's been with 17 strikeouts.
Yeah.
He's got a couple of dingers. He leads the team in RBI right now with 11.
But they need another threat at the plate.
And you think that'd be Chris Bryant, but it's not. He's hitting 149 right now, and he's hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's okay. He's hitting 259. He's only got one home run so far. It's not great. Diaz has been okay. Diaz has given them, at least batting average-wise, a good start, 327.
Guy I've been surprised about how well he's played in his limited time is Jake Cave.
Yeah.
Jacob Stallings has been all right. He's better behind the plate than he is a threat at the dish. But
there's two guys. Well, Jones hitting 182 is not great. But you look at a couple. Brendan Rodgers and Chris Bryant. You've got to have better than what you're getting there with Bryant at 149. At least he's got a home run. That's something. Rodgers has yet to hit a home run this year. He's only hitting 211. You need more out of those two guys right now. Because the young guys are going to struggle a little bit. That's going to happen. You need more from Nolan Jones, who's not necessarily a young guy anymore. But like with Doyle and Tovar, they're holding up their end of the bargain here.
Yeah.
As far as being young guys. Tolia, not batting average wise, but run production wise, yeah. He's been fine.
But also Tolia, we've talked with Jerry Schemmel about this the last year or so. Michael Tolia does not look nearly as overmatched as he did last year.
Agreed.
Last year he looked out of his depth every single plate appearance. This year, not as much. There are times where you can tell it's like, all right, kid needs some film work, needs to do something extra. But that bomb last night, like Aaron Nola served it. He's like, here you go, hit it, kid. The kid did.
Yeah, threw an 89-foot bomb last night.
Like, he's getting better. That's all I want from him. I don't need him to go out there and hit 300 and hit 35 home runs and drive in 100.
But you need the experienced guys, though, like the Chris Bryant.
You need McMahon and Chris Bryant to get north of 20.
Yeah.
20 bombs. And, you know, McMahon's probably going to get there again. He's got two, but he's got the RBI, strikeouts are down.
Yeah, streaky he is, though. He'll go on a tear. He'll have a week.
Well, he'll hit six.
Yeah, he'll just go on a tear, and then he'll cool off for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then he'll go on another tear.
I know the number's high when you get to the end of the season, but McMahon's on pace right now for 162 strikeouts. That's down significantly.
Yeah, that's an improvement.
You know, and I'll take that. His OPS plus is 152. It's highest on the team. You know, he's doing his part, and his defense has been pretty good over there, too.
All right, so after the game last night, I still think we'd like to have him.
This year? I don't know. Cardinals are... I don't know if they're a mess, but things aren't going... Okay, Nolan's hitting 286.
Yeah, I'd still take Nolan. Thank you.
He's only got one dinger, though. Take that.
Well, get him back to Coors Field.
Yeah.
All right, so after the game last night, Bud Black talking about the... extra inning loss to the Phillies.
It was a tough one for both sides. Whoever came on the short end of that one was going to be a tough one. We played well. They played well. Nola pitched great. So did Quantrill. Our bullpen did a nice job.
All right. So Bud Black. So today it's Austin Gomber against Ranger Suarez. That's your pitching matchup. The two lefties go at it. We will have tomorrow night's game, but I believe we have tomorrow night's game, correct?
I think so.
Okay. I think we have tomorrow night. We don't have tonight, though, because we have high school baseball with Fernald Monument and Central.
Tomorrow the 17th. Yeah, we do. We have that afternoon game.
Okay. So, once again, it's a 4 o'clock start from Philadelphia coming up tomorrow. But Rockies and the Phillies square off tonight. Of course, it's Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. All right, 7:44 and time for sound check this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, John Sterling of the New York Yankees called it quits yesterday.
The Yankees.
The Yankees kicked me out. Or no, he retired. He's an old man, been doing it for a long time. No matter whether you like his shtick or not, he's a legend. His broadcast partner for a long time, Susan Waldman, has already given us this gem.
This is boring.
Yes, for some of the Yankees. She also was talking about, as the Yankees finished up their series with the Guardians on Sunday, how she hates stupid made-up holidays, as she calls them.
Their last game, the Guardians had a walk-off win, and it was the Naylor Brothers show, actually. Josh and Bo each homered in the fourth inning, and you know what that was Wednesday? It was National Siblings Day.
3-0, and I want your opinion on this.
Yeah.
How do you feel about all these national pop-up holidays that didn't really exist 15 years ago?
I think they're all stupid, but...
I like National Siblings Day. Call to strike.
All right, but you have to have a day? I talk to my brother every day.
I'm with you.
I don't need a day. I don't need National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
It should be every day.
Well, for some of us it is.
3-1. Swing and a miss. Nice, nasty knuckle curve from Clark, so it's now 3-2 to Naylor.
I'm not great on made-up stuff just to have something to say.
It was so evident that it wasn't an actual holiday.
I never heard half of them. National Peanut Day. I don't know these things.
I don't know these things. I didn't realize George Costanza's mom
apparently
does Yankees games.
This is boring.
George. It's boring.
Yankees not super boring this year.
No, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling they're probably going to be in our pole dancing.
Yeah, I hate to put them in there because I hate
them. But kind of weird at John Sterling because I read an article a while back that he was contemplating retiring.
Right.
Thought he'd do this season and then he'd be done.
And then
kind of weird that he just decides, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those, well, you know, we'll take it year by year and then... Oh, the Yankees have a press conference scheduled for Saturday. John Sterling's going to retire. Well, I don't necessarily know if that's, yes, you're right, I'm retiring. Like, what in the world? Like, why start the season then? It's April 16th.
Either, just finish the season or decide, okay, I'm just going to do home games.
Right, which was the plan.
Which is fine. Anyway. fulfill that, and then call it quits next year.
That's what Euchre does?
Yeah, just do what Euchre is doing. And Euchre's, what, 5 years older? I think Euchre's 90, yeah. Right? And Sterling's 85.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it for 64 years.
And Avon, from Avon,
the Yankees win.
Burn, baby, burn.
You may not always like his shtick, but he's a legend, and he's incredible.
We know a lot of it. If we don't like it, we know a lot of
exactly.
It. That's all. I just
think it's very odd that you would start out the season and go, okay, I'm done. Unless there's a health reason, right. In which that doesn't appear to be the case here for him, but I don't know. All right, 7:47. We know that Susie Waldman doesn't like made-up holidays.
No, she doesn't.
So today is National Van Halen Day, I've decided.
Yeah, let's
do
it.
For no other reason than we are talking about it.
Just to irritate Susan.
Exactly. All right, 7:48, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show.
Stay by the radio.
You're listening to the Jim Davis Show on the team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back, 7:51. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. All right, Mike Dunlap coming up at 8 o'clock, top of next hour. Got my old broadcast partner.
Mere Moments.
Yeah, Mere Moments. My old broadcast partner, Jeff Emerson.
Oh.
From way back in the day.
That is old, because I think that's pre-me.
Yes, that would
here.
Be pre-you.
This is year 24.
So. Yeah, so.
Not to date you, Jeff. But
back in the day.
Yeah.
And Jeff says, this is no disrespect to DeGeorge, but what he did for CMU basketball over the past 5 years is remarkable, but CMU actually got better today. Unbelievable hire. Go Mavs.
It's a pretty good hire.
It's an excellent hire. It really is. Let's see. From Robert, I usually do not text on Tuesdays because the team schedule seems pretty filled on this day. However, please remember those 15, 16, 17 inning games, even shorter extra innings. Our games are draining. How about ties after 10 innings in Major League Baseball? Perhaps a point system? No. No, 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 no on the point system.
No, there must be a winner.
No, got to have a winner.
If it goes all night, it goes all night. They're grown-ups. They get paid to be there.
Or, and you, at least you have a formula with the Ghost Runner.
I think about the fans.
To give somebody a chance to win the game.
60 games without fans 4 years ago.
All right, so we have pole dancing coming up, our top five Major League Baseball, top five favorite fictional baseball players. Andy's got his this morning on the text line.
So does Kenny. I saw Kenny pop one in, too.
Yeah, so let's see. I'm trying to get, trying to read Andy's here. I'm having some issues with my.
I got you. You want the five?
I got it right here. Finally, okay. I had to do some, the format in here is goofy. It got changed by somebody. Yeah. So he has Jake Elliott. Which is Tom Selleck, Roy Hobbs, Stan Ross. That would be
Mr. 3000,
which
right?
is on Mr. 3000, yeah. The Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac.
He might be making an appearance on mine later.
Ooh,
Jake Taylor and Crash Davis. It's a good list. It's a solid list.
I got three of those guys on my list. I think.
Let's see, we also have Mike in Scottsdale. Good morning, muchachos. Buckeye, please cue up Panama and listen to the beginning. There is no synthesizer that you mention. Must be confused with another song. Your opinion about Ed's guitar work in Van Hagar is shared by 2% of guitar players. Ooh, coming at you hard today.
That's what I love about Mike in Scottsdale. Absolutely no grace for trying to remember what 200 different songs sound like. Instead, you're an idiot. And you're also wrong. So... And people are surprised I didn't look him up when I was in Arizona.
Ouch. Okay. And away we go this morning.
He started it.
Yeah, it's
good morning, Bucca. You're an idiot. Yeah, I know that. I have a mirror, but thanks.
AJ this morning, honestly, they feel not that bad. Like you could almost have hope, but I feel like they'll eventually break our hearts. James over at Cutter Craft Coffee and Beer House. Good morning, guys. Great show. My personal belief is that the more close losses, the more it leans on poor management. I'd love to hear Chris Hank's thoughts on this. If you could make little adjustments here and there, would that result in a win? Is that more on the skipper or the players? Sometimes you're only as good as the groceries you have to work with.
Sometimes pushing the wrong button, pulling the wrong lever, results in an L instead of a W.
Chris, good morning, fellas. You guys are doing a great imitation of Jerry Schimmel this morning and put a whole lot of lipstick on that Colorado Rockies.
I think that's pig, maybe?
Pig, they're supposed to be pig. I think we're just trying to point out there are... Chris, are we supposed to be just negative every single second about the Rockies?
Like, I could do that.
We've been pretty damn negative about them, to be quite honest.
I really can do that. But also, we do have to sell our product, which is
and
the
we
Rockies.
Do have to look for the positive things.
Right.
The bright side of the life here, the sunny day, the little glimmer of hope. All right, very quickly, I'm going to do Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. This is a Colorado college question.
Okay.
What year was the last for D1 baseball at Colorado State? So when a gift certificate to Wrigley Field, home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee, just east of Sam Saplesio Field, what year was the last for D1 baseball at Colorado State? Send your answer in text line only 970-242-1340.